last week as we are talking about spiritual understanding, how important it is that you and I learn how to glean and to be able to appropriate things from God. We know that God is a spirit, and to be able to communicate with Him or be able to receive from Him, we need to be able to relate to Him on a spiritual level. And a lot of times in life, you know, especially we go through the motions, we go through different things, and what I've found is sometimes we're like the Galatian church. Remember, Paul got on the Galatian church because they started out in grace and they ended up in the law? Well, a lot of times we can do something similar because we start out in our spirit, but then along the process of time, we start to try to work out of our mind and our head. Now, we shouldn't ever unplug our brain. That's dangerous, right? But yet, there's also the idea and the way of looking at things of where we need to be able to understand that God's Word is a spiritual thing and that we need to be able to relate to Him spiritually. I believe life's hard enough the way it is. Many people face many battles. You know, we heard some of the things and the prayer requests of what some people are having to go through. Sometimes I believe that we as believers, we struggle as we go through these attacks saying, God, you know, where are you in my situation? Where are you in my situation? Thing is, God is always there. The Bible says He'll never leave us or forsake us. And what happens sometimes is that we just have a hard time understanding what it is that He's trying to do in our life. And so we need to learn how to connect with Him. And He's a spirit, so we need to connect with Him that way. Jesus says, my words are spirit and they are life. And so when we read the Bible, it's not just a novel or something that we try to gain just information, but it's something that we need to get God's wisdom from. So we're going to look as it talks about combining spiritual words with spiritual thoughts. And as we start to do that, I think we're going to start to flow with Him in a better way. Our text that we've been reading from is 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9 to 16. I read from the New American Standard. It says, but just as it is written, things which eye has not seen and ear has not heard and which have not entered the heart of man, all that God has prepared for him, prepared for those who love Him. For to us God revealed them through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of man except the spirit of the man, which is in him? Even so, the thoughts of God no one knows except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may know the things freely given to us by God, which things we also speak, not in words taught by wisdom, but those taught by the Spirit, combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words. Verse 14, but the natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually appraised. But he who is spiritual appraises all things, yet he himself is appraised by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that will instruct him, but we have the mind of Christ. That's the goal. Let's pray. Father, we thank You that You have given us the mind of Christ, Lord. We thank You that we are spirit beings. And Lord, we want to connect with You on a spiritual level. Right now, we open ourselves up to receive divine revelation knowledge into our hearts and minds today, Lord, to be able to transform us, to change us, to make us into people that You've called us to be. Lord, we bind up the devil from trying to steal the Word out of our hearts and minds in any way, shape, or form. And Lord, I thank You for the gifts of the Spirit to be in operation, and I yield to the gift inside of me in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. A little recap from last week. Remember, God loves everybody, right? Amen. God loves everybody. But only the ones that love Him back are the ones that's going to really tap into everything that God has for him. And we won't go into what love really is again today, maybe just a little bit later. But it's talking about the idea of you know, that unconditional love. Now, I think we all would admit last week is the fact that we all probably need to go deeper with God. We're not probably where we could be. I think that's a fair assumption. You know, and that's something that we can be honest with. It's not condemnation, but hopefully it's something that stirs us to want to go a little farther with God and to get in there and see what He has for us. You know, I use the illustration that God is like an ocean. He's not an ocean. but he's like an ocean to me. And a lot of times we're just out there skimming the surface in a boat, right? We're out there and we think that's as good as it gets. But remember, we come to the conclusion that, you know, we need a submarine if we're really going to go deep in God. And the Holy Spirit is like our submarine. The Holy Spirit encapsulates us. You know, we're sealed with the Spirit of God, the Bible says. So it's the Holy Spirit that can take us deeper and deeper in God. We can't figure that out for ourselves. But it's something that we have to yield to the Spirit of God. And it's not something spooky, but it's something that we can learn to flow with and to go with Him. And so that led us to the point, I believe, that we need to get a firm grip on the role of the Holy Spirit in our lives. How important He is. Now, you're probably sitting by somebody today, perhaps, that you love. But we need to get to the place that we love the Holy Spirit even more. Amen? The Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God. And we need to remember in our life, we need to probably get a little card made. It's spirit, soul, and body. You know, in our culture, it's body, soul, spirit, right? You know, we got to take care of this body. We got to get six-pack abs. Even on my best day, maybe when I was 10, I'm not sure, but I haven't seen my abs in quite some time. And I worked out. I've done everything. And the same with my soul. I've tried to gain knowledge, but not until I was saved and I started to understand the things of God, understood the importance of the spiritual side of life and how important that is. And when I put that first, and then my soul, my intellect, and my emotions second, and then my body. I mean, you got to take care of your body, right? I mean, that's what you live in. That's what carries you around. You know, the real you's on the inside. But, you know, that's not the most important thing. And as we learn that, then we start to flow with Him and we start to do better. Now, we went verse 9 and 10 last week, but I want to fall back on verse 10 just a moment. You know, it says, "For to us God revealed them." You know, I want you all to say, "For to us," that means me. Okay. God reveals them to you. You may be sitting here today and you think, "God doesn't tell me nothing. I just feel like He's just keeping secrets all the time. And there's no way I can ever find anything out." That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says that God is revealing to us. He wants you to know. He cares deeply for you. And He wants to reveal things to you. And we have to get that frame of thought. Once I found this out, it just revolutionized the way and my relation with God. Now, like I've said, you must be born again. You know, we're born spiritually dead, separated from God. That's why God says you must be born again. You must receive that new life. It's not that you cease to exist. It's that you're separated from God due to the sin nature. But when we ask Jesus Christ to come into our life and take control, making Him Lord, we are born again. And once we're born again, our spirit is alive to God and we have that connection. Now, some of you, it's been hot kind of lately, and maybe your air conditioner works halfway decent, but how many maybe have plugged the fan in? Just to help a little bit. You know, if that fan will work great as long as it's plugged in. But if it's not plugged in, you can spin it with your finger, do whatever you want. But that fan's not going to blow any air. It has to be plugged into the source. And you and I need to be plugged into the source of God. So as we get it settled in our heart that God wants to reveal things to us, it helps us along our way. Now, what happens is, like I mentioned, is that we're like the Galatian church. We get saved, we get on fire, maybe we get a little touch from God, and we get to hopping around, get excited about Jesus, praise God, He changed my life. But then all of a sudden, through the process of time, we go through it, and then all of a sudden that relationship loses a little bit of its fire, and it just becomes information to us. It's just a little piece of paper. You know, that's how some marriages get, isn't it? You know, you get up there in front of everybody and say, "I do, I do, I do. I love you, I love you," and give somebody a big old smooch right in front of everybody, right? And you get up there and you do that, but then long through the process of time, that feeling wanes a little bit and goes away. And then you find yourself saying, "I don't, I don't, I don't," right? "I can't believe I did that." And see, so with our relationship with God, we need to keep on fire so that we know that. But our head and our flesh gets in the way. Right now inside of you, there's a war raging. You may not feel it all the time, But your flesh nature, the old nature, is trying to draw you away from God. The last thing the flesh wants you to do is read the Bible and pray and go to church. Every time you sit down to pray, all of a sudden you get all the things that go through your mind of everything you have to do that day, trying to rob you of that closeness with God. And every time that you feel like fasting, guess what? Somebody invites you out for lunch. And this person never invites you for lunch. You always buy. But here they're saying they're going to buy. You know, so that's just how it works sometimes. Our flesh and our thinking tries to keep us away from God because we make the mistake of, and then we elevate our soul above our spirit because, you know, we just want to look so good. You know, in our culture, if you're smart, that means you're successful. You have all these things and people look up to you and how important that is. And what happens is that we end up limiting our understanding to only what makes sense to us. And when we get to the place in our walk with God in our life where we limit our understanding of God, where we only understand Him about what makes sense, we're going to fall short. Because it doesn't make sense how somebody dying on a cross and that blood can destroy the power of sin in our life. You'll never get that. You have to do it by faith. It has to be a spiritual thing. In your mind, you can try to explain that to somebody and they'll say, "What? That don't make any sense." And like I've said, I don't know how a black cow can eat green grass and make white milk, but it does, right? That's just the way it is. There's some things we have to just understand and just trust that it is true. So it goes on to say in verse 11 that the spirit of man knows the thoughts of man. So then also it says that the spirit of God knows the thoughts of God. So it's our spirit that really knows our thoughts. You know, Hebrews 4:12 goes in talking about the Word of God, the sword of the Spirit. We won't go there today, but it talks about how intertwined our soul is from our spirit and that our spirit knows the thoughts. And then here it says how the Spirit of God knows the thoughts of God. So how important is it that we should know the Spirit of God if we don't want to know the thoughts of God? Now, as we all know, if you're born again, the Holy Spirit lives inside of you, right? You are a temple of the Holy Spirit. Wherever you go, God goes with you. We come to this building, we call it a church, but technically the church is us. We are the church. We come in, this is a house of worship is what it really is. And so it's important that we find out about the Holy Spirit. I really believe that we need to find out what He likes and what He doesn't like. Now let's just say you are single right now. And you have somebody in mind that you like. Maybe think back, husbands and wives, to that day when you met somebody that intrigued you a little bit. This might be the one. I think it is. I feel it. So what did you do? You probably checked them out a little bit, and you probably find out what they liked and what they did not like. And you made it a purpose in your life to do the things they like, and God forbid, don't ever do what they don't like. Because you don't want to chase them away, man. I've been single so long. You know, I don't want to run this one off. So you find out what they don't like, and you stay away from it. Well, how important it is with the Holy Spirit, then, if we need Him so much, to find out what He likes and what He doesn't like? Well, it's all revealed in the Scripture. What He likes and what He doesn't like, what grieves Him, what blesses Him, what we can do to tap into Him so that we can be able to find out the things that God has for us. God is a good God. That was a revelation to me. Growing up as a kid, I thought God was pretty mean, you know, to some degree, because that's how He'd been explained. Nobody ever told me that He was a good God and that He loved people and that all this stuff. I mean, yeah, I knew Jesus died on the cross, but I made a distinction between the two. You know, I thought God the Father was a guy that just kind of beat you back and didn't let you have a lot of fun because you had to give up all this stuff. You know, just limited understanding about God. Didn't really know until I got saved and started to read the Bible, and then I found out how wrong I was. You know, it talks about that we see dimly. Now, it doesn't say we're dim-witted, right? Don't read into that. You know, and think you're dim-witted. No. The Bible says we see dimly. What's that talking about? Well, most of us probably have driven a car, and we've went out, especially in the fall or maybe the spring, and have you ever had your windshield fog over? I think we all have, right? And we go through life sometimes like that without the Holy Spirit Because, you know, we're out there and we're running late. We didn't really get up in time. We've got to get to work. And we go out there and our windshield's fogged over. And lo and behold, the fan blower doesn't work. Bummer. So you're out there scraping and trying to do what you can. And you're trying to see. And that's what it's like going through life without the Holy Spirit. Is that we can see, but we can't really see. Because we see dimly. We see dimly. Or maybe your fan blower does work. Now, my old truck, I got all kinds of stuff in there in case I might need it. You know what I mean? Well, sometimes I'll throw stuff up on the dash. Well, guess what that does to my blower? It limits the air from coming out. And really, that's where a lot of Christians are. We can maybe see spiritually a little bit, but yet due to the things of the world, we've placed things over us so that we don't really get a clear view of really what's going on. You know, we still got to get somewhere, so we're trying to go through life and we have limited vision. Oh, we're functioning, but we're not operating at our full potential. And that can be compared with a sinner. A sinner is like somebody in the wintertime that's frosted over. Now, be honest. How many of you have tried to start driving before your windshield was cleaned off? We all have, haven't we? Maybe make just a little hole and you're there. Maybe have you ever seen somebody driving down the road and their head's hanging out the door or out the window and your air it is about 20 degrees and your eyes are freezing over and, you know, I think I can make it though. I think I can make this. And that's where people are without God sometimes. They think they can make it. They're trying to, you know, they can't see through what they're supposed to see through, but they're trying to function. They're trying to go through life, and then you always get a laugh when you're driving around the road and you meet somebody like that. Ha, 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 and you. You know, I got a clean windshield. You know, here you see this person, and they can't see out of their windshield, and they're driving down the highway or, you know, here in town, you know, and oh, my goodness. Just a mess. But see, it's important that we understand how important it is that we know the Holy Spirit so that we can have things revealed to us. You know, a lot of times, we know enough about God to get saved, but not enough to walk in victory. And see, that's the second part of the relationship. I thank God I don't have to go to hell. I mean, that's the ultimate. But there's more. That's what excited me when I found out there's more. I thought, you know, if I just got saved, then I don't have to go to hell and I just hang out down here for a while. And then when I finally check out of this place, I get to go to be in heaven. Yippee! But then I found out there's more to the relationship. The relationship that I have with God is that He wants them to be able to walk in a level of victory because that's how Jesus paid the price so that we can have victory. And the only way we do that is that if we're being able to tap in and understand the things of God. Now, this is important to me because that's just how I'm wired. Maybe some of you are like this, but I just don't want to know the what. I want to know the why sometimes. I need to know the why. If I don't know the why, sometimes I'll do whatever I can to find out the why. Now, the what should satisfy me sometimes, but it doesn't. I want to know why something works the way it does. I want to know why this does this the way it functions and things like that. And I think that's good with the Spirit of God because it says in verse 12 and 13, it's talking about the spirit of the world versus the spirit that is from God. See, the spirit of the world it's talking about is natural and demonic. And the revelation that He wants to give you is revelation that draws you away from God. It tries to influence our soul, our mind. Now, like I say, I'm not dissing the mind. We need to take care of our mind. We need to renew it, the Bible says. But for the most part, we were never left as believers to function out of our mind. Because, as I mentioned, God is a spirit, so we need to be able to connect with Him and relate with Him that way. So, as we start to tap into the Spirit of God, you know, we know that the Spirit of God is both spiritual and holy. God is trying to lead us to holiness. You know, holiness is a word that scares some people because they get the mind that I got to quit this before I can get that. But that's not how God totally works. God gives us all this stuff and it fills it up, and then we start to get that. You know, it's like that old illustration I like using. If I had a glass of Coke and a glass of 7-Up here. 7-Up, you know, I don't drink either anymore. But, you know, the 7-Up's talking about holiness. It's clear. Then you got the Coke, which is black, which, you know, talking about the sin in us. Now, if you keep dumping the 7-Up in the Coke, it's going to chase that darkness away, right? So as you continually keep filling up with God, just keep putting God in, and it's the law of displacement. It starts to move that old thinking, that stinking thinking out of our life. Because the Word of God is a transforming power. Because Jesus says, my words are spirit, and they are life. And as that life goes in, death must flee. Praise God. It's not that we have to keep a bunch of rules and regulations, although Jesus does give us some great guidelines to live by, amen? And we should try to do that, you know, by His grace. But as we start to function and flow with Him. Now, you remember in the Bible, now some people run with this the wrong way. God says, my ways are not your ways. Then I've had people tell me, well, you can never really know. They settle. That's how they live their life. You can never really know. God says, my ways are not your ways. That's Old Testament. Which is good. It's true. That's pre-Holy Ghost living inside. Right? The Holy Ghost lives inside of us now. And He starts to bring that revelation because that's His ministry. He has several ministries on the earth. And one of the greatest one that He does for you and mine, for me, He reveals. Now, I want to look at the idea of difference between knowledge and wisdom. Both are important. Knowledge and wisdom. You know, what's the difference? To me, knowledge is information. Now, some people read the Bible, and it's just an informational book. They memorize Scripture. Good to do. But they keep it only on an intellectual level. And that's where some people, you know, not dissing seminaries, but sometimes people come out of seminary less saved than they did when they went in. Because they go in there and they try to unravel God's Word with their head. And it's a spiritual book. Now, not all have that happen to them, but a lot of them, they lose some of the spiritual side of things because they kind of forget to really focus. They try to dissect words and do all these things, and they miss the main point of really got what God's trying to do. And, you know, you've heard that on maybe commercials, that knowledge is power, right? If you have enough information, you have power over other people or situations. But to me, as believers, we need to get to the place that we go beyond knowledge and we start to walk in wisdom. Now, to me, the wisdom is the ability to apply knowledge. And we all need to flow with that. And that's what the Holy Spirit wants to get us to. Now, let's say we was going to make bread, or let's say I make pizza. I used to make homemade pizzas. And you get a recipe out, right? Unless you know it from memory. And it's got all these ingredients. You got some flour, and you have some yeast, and you have, you know, you put water, and I don't remember what else. I haven't made it for a long time. Excuse me. But you throw, you know, if you don't really read the fine print and really understand how things work, and if you're really hungry, you know, that's the worst time to make it. But you'll throw all those ingredients in there real quick, whip it up, and throw it in the oven. Well, guess what? It ain't no good. You won't have crispy, thin and crispy, man. You'll have crunchy. It'll be like a brick. Why? Because you didn't have the wisdom to understand what yeast has to do. Yeast takes a few minutes. Wisdom is to wait, just step back, mix it together, put it by a heated source, and walk back for a little bit. Let that yeast, which makes carbon dioxide, and it starts to fluff that up and it starts to raise your dough. And then you'll have a nice crust. Because I've been in the process, either I went too quick or I didn't use the yeast right, or the yeast was bad. And that's come out and you can't even eat it. It's so hideous. Just hideous. And you got all this great cheese and tomato and jalapenos and all the good stuff on the pizza. At least on my part. I have to make different parts, you know. I'm the only one that likes jalapenos. But yet, then you try to eat it, and it's just all that. It's just clunk. It's just disgusting. Just disappointing. And you were starving. So then you have to order pizza. Right? But it's the wisdom is the ability to read the information and know how to apply it. And so we need to get to that place when it comes to the things of God. Because a lot of times we get to the place where we just walk in knowledge because we know, you know, maybe we think we know what to do. But I believe by a relationship with the Holy Spirit, you know, He helps us with the timing issues that we have of when to maybe step out, when to do what He's called us to do. And that's why, you know, maybe you, have you ever had a quiz? You're supposed to fill something out and you got all these blank spaces. Well, the Holy Spirit fills in those blanks. He helps us so we know the why on how things really, really function. You know, when you understand the why, to me, we say to God, then, where do you want me to go and when do you want me to do it? Because we already know the what. But the wisdom is to know the when and the where. You know, and that's why we need to stay so close and in contact with the Holy Spirit. Because maybe we've been doing something for several years the same way. But maybe that well's dried up. And maybe God wants us to change our method a little bit on something. And we wonder why it ain't working anymore. And we blame the devil. But really, it's the fact that we maybe got locked in our head and we're not open to what the Spirit of God's saying. So how do we apply this? Remember, number one, is that if you're saved, the Holy Spirit's living inside of you. Never forget that. Bible says, you know, Jesus never leave or forsake us. The Holy Spirit's inside you. And we need to take confidence that He's in us. And when we wake up every day, we need to know that He's there. Number two, the Holy Spirit wants to reveal the things to us. You know, for you Star Trek fans, I know maybe there's a couple of you out here. You know, like I've always said, that's His prime directive. He wants to reveal. And we have to understand that God's not against us. God's on our side. God wants to reveal the things to us that we need to know. And just believe that He's going to tell you. Just believe that. And lastly, don't just settle for the what. Know that God wants to reveal the why, at least most of the time. God's not going to maybe share everything. Some things we just can't handle yet. Some things are a timing issue. But I just want to get us to the place in our walk with God where we have decided that I'm not going to settle for just scratching the surface anymore. But I believe that God wants to lead me to a deeper relationship. And that relationship is going to be probably, if not the most, it's going to be the most fulfilling relationship that you've ever had. You know, I thank God for the joy of my salvation. But I thank Him also for every day walking with Him. You know, that He's called me out of that darkness into His marvelous light. And that He wants to share with me. When I started to understand the Holy Spirit, you know, you can, you know, look it up in your Bible. Maybe you got a study Bible. Just start to look about different things about the Holy Spirit and what He does and what He likes and doesn't like. You know, I could tell you all this stuff and it would be good. But just think if you looked it up for yourself and God showed you personally. Wow. That would even be more powerful. Let's pray.